with the longings of the world, he ultimately reaches the state where he may truthfully say that he understands the world. For man understands what he is and is what he understands. When realization pierces the sixth ring and blends itself with the consciousness of that plane, it is declared that the individual transcends individual concerns and becomes a citizen of the universe. His kinship with the sun, the moon, and the stars is established, for the consciousness that was formerly individual discovers individuality to be a limiting and binding illusion. Of such souls as have attained to this exalted state are the bodhisattvas, those who stand at the very gateway of liberation. These exalted ones may still turn back and as elder brothers walk the dusty roads of the lower worlds, but before them the swinging veils of eternity are very thin and the voice of the great sea of reality calls to them to immerse their lesser selves in its limitless expanse. To describe the consciousness of those so proximate to reality is a futile undertaking for anyone not so illumined. It can only be said that such as these brood over mortality, and leaning from the casements of heaven regard with solicitude divine this mundane sphere. These are the great ones who walk from star to star, whose souls are so vast that the whirling bodies of the firmament are encircled by them. These are the ones who gaze straight into the face of the sun unblinded. The oriental mind conceives these illumined and perfected ones to be vast beings whose statures extend from earth to heaven, whose feet rest upon pink lotus buds, and whose flowing draperies reveal in their grace the innate perfection of the wearer. Nowhere in all the mighty figure is a single incongruity to be found. The long, slender fingers either assume the mudras with perfect rhythm or hold the symbols of divine accomplishment. Surrounded by its blazing nimbus, the noble head is set in absolute repose, yet in the awesomeness of its grandeur there is nothing to inspire fear, for the perfected ones are not terrible in power but rather beautiful in humility. Though the great face of the bodhisattva blazes like burnished gold, there is in it that sweet repose which makes all who be the annihilation of the sense of diversity 113. Hold it, cease their strivings and enter into meditation. The jewels in the crown gleam and glisten with a holy light, and the clanking rings upon the mendicant's staff sound the music of the spheres. With his feet rising from the earth in lotus cups and his head blended with the heavens, the Bodhi Sattva thus stands as the embodiment of those redeeming graces which, latent in most men, have been awakened and brought to full expression through the aeons of preparation. The lips of the illumined are as lotus buds, for they have been perfected through ages of perfect speech and from them issue the words of perfect wisdom. The half-closed eyes contemplate the Maya, shoreless vistas in whose depths resides the perfect Buddha, and toward this ultimate that lies beyond the seventh ring the Great One thus directs the ageless chant of the law. I take my refuge in thy name and thee. I take my refuge in thy law of good. I take my refuge in thy order. OML. It is not written that the lesser shall include the greater in its scope of awareness. It is impossible, therefore, to trace the magnitude of that illumination which, standing at the threshold of reality, already glimpses the endless of this consciousness. All that can be said is that, robed in its own exaltedness, it awaits the day when it shall be merged with the all. At last for the aspiring soul there comes the great day. Be with us, which is indeed the end of all beginnings. This day, that has a dawn but no sunset, begins in time and lasts throughout eternity. Diversity has been completely absorbed and naught remains save the meditating saint and the absolute. The iridescent bubble of being now floats upon the great ocean from whose primordial spray it was fashioned. For one breathless, unmeasurable second of time the bubble hangs suspended, an opalescent sphere. Against its confining walls the imprisoned sage hurls the blazing thunderbolt of his will. The bubble bursts and instantly disappears except for a fine mist that settles back into the endless sea. 114 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Thus is accomplished the annihilation of the last ring of illusion, when realization becomes so exalted as to be incapable of further qualification, when nothing but all is sufficient and the multitude of illusions including the dream of existence have been dissipated. The leering Yama, the god of illusion, who sought to grasp the bubble and its holy contents, retires discomfited, for the perfected one has escaped into the refuge that endures. No more will the illumined one walk with man. His last discourse has been given, for the last time he has taken upon himself the veil of sorrow, for he has now merged himself with the law that is his refuge. Those who seek the perfected one must search for him in perfection, for he has become one with all the good which he sought. He is identical with the beauty that he served, he is the truth whose actuality he conceived, he is the sure foundation that is the absolute necessity. To the disciples left behind, the master who passes into Nirvana is one who has passed out of the world which shall cease into the world which ceases not. He has become one with all the permanence that is, and through all the manifestations of infinite law he is revealed. He has become one with the finger that traces the sunsets upon the western sky, one with the God of morning who, parting the curtains of night, ushers in the day, one with the winds and the rains. He gazes down from the blue mists of heaven and up from the dark mystery of the earth. His voice is heard in the mantra and his eloquence in the booming of the temple gong. His strength is made manifest in the law and his meekness in the humility of the mendicant. The one gone has ceased to be somewhere but has grown to be everywhere, for he has found reality and is himself one with that which all men seek. One by one the aspiring soul has discarded the limiting rings of consciousness. From the least to the greatest he has risen, and this he has accomplished by becoming the least among the least. With one supreme effort of realization he has renounced death and become death. Less, he has willingly surrendered life and become lifeless. So, lifeless and deathless, he remains immovable in eternity. Tihi annihilation of the sense of diversity. 115. Climbing up the ladder of the stars he has followed the path to perfection, he has walked the middle road which has been established since the beginning of the world, he has followed in the footsteps of the sages gone before, and after him will come myriads yet unborn, until sometime the way to Nirvana shall be the royal road by which all humanity passes from the ephemerality of mortal existence to the unchangeableness of divine existence. He who attains the absolute is himself the absolute, for while all men contemplate some world to which their consciousness has attuned them, he who has attained the absolute contemplates only the inconceivable perfection of the absolute itself. United with that which eternally endures, the perfected soul is freed forever from the illusion of change, of difference, of time, and of distance. It is useless, however, to attempt an analysis of the consciousness of the one in whom consciousness has thus been merged with reality. While we struggle impotently with the tangled skein of life, such a one has gathered all its strands together and rewound the line of life to its own beginning. While we are born upon its surface, powerless to stem its currents, such a one has reversed the waters of the river of life and caused them to flow back to their own source. Having revealed to all men through his life the fulfillment of the law and having preached his farewell sermon that all might understand, the great Buddha entered Nirvana. Having, by his resurrection, demonstrated to all mankind the illusion of death, the Master Jesus ascended into the aeons to be united with his Heavenly Father. Having demonstrated that justice alone shall survive, Socrates drank the hemlock and with perfect realization exchanged the death of life for the life of death. Certain of the reality that lies beyond, and given courage by ever-increasing vistas of consciousness, the aspiring soul proceeds to the annihilation of the unreal by hurling himself voluntarily through the wall of his prison into the embrace of the law, which is his refuge and his end. 116 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Having thus considered, in diagrammatic fashion at least, the principle involved in the unfoldment of realization, let us view the subject from the standpoint of the philosopher. If asked to describe the sensations through which he passes as he projects his realization inward toward the self, the Oriental mystic would reply that he first seats himself in the midst of the bustle and confusion of the world. Then, having established his physical body in the posture and state prescribed by the law, he begins the conscious withdrawal of himself from his outer life. Gradually the turmoil around him ceases until the physical world seems to sink away into space, leaving him alone immersed in a quasi-emptiness which is permeated, however, by the sense of protection and well-being. In its ascent, realization passes through various states or conditions where, if right mindfulness is not employed, the mystic wanders off into a phantasmal world which the European magicians of the Middle Ages chose to call the sphere of the astral light. Here the sense of emptiness is no longer present, for space seems filled with strange and exotic perfumes, and the one in meditation beholds flowers falling from space upon him until he is literally buried beneath a mass of sweet-smelling blossoms. Over him then steals a bliss unalloyed and the calm, compelling urge to drift off into the astral gardens which have thus suddenly materialized into being. As Eliphas Levi says, however, the serpent of evil is entwined about each flower, and he who tarries here will never find the real. But, resolute in his defiance of the phantasms thus conjured up by Mara, the realization of the mystic rises above all these through spheres of light and color, through planes where endless music peals as from a heavenly organ. At length all phenomena cease, light and darkness cease, the realization of the personal self ceases. Slowly over the entire being descends an absolute peace and the mystic is swept into infinite realization. At this point the sage will end his description, for here description fails. Realization is the power by which the great achievement is rendered possible. Realization, as previously stated, must not be confused with intellectual acquiescence in, or concept of an